Well, praise the Lord. That last song really hit me. I often feel like I'm not near good enough for. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thanks. It's a new year, and each year with New Beginnings, we ask the people of New Beginnings to decide if they are hearing from God to be a member again, to agree to partner together to accomplish God's purposes through New Beginnings. And so we asked you to consider filling out a membership covenant. And I know it's been a hard year and a half or so with New Beginnings, and we asked this team from the Netzer to come in to discern what God has for New Beginnings. And to be honest, we didn't know if they would say, it's time to close the doors and call it. They didn't say anything like that. God has plans yet for New Beginnings. And we're discerning as an elders team right now what those plans are. I'm trying to understand what was shared with us through this Netzer team that prayed for us. And we're going to be meeting with Brandon Hanks later this month and discussing some of those things. And so, yeah, we need your prayers. But God is not done with New Beginnings. And so we ask you to prayerfully consider if you would join us in the adventure that God has waiting for us that we're not totally sure about yet. Some of those things we still are not quite clear, and so we're trying to discern that. So we need your prayers, and we would appreciate your support. And so we're asking you to do this again. They're back on the table. I've already filled mine out and signed it. And so we ask you to prayerfully consider that for yourselves. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great love for us. No matter what we've done or haven't done, no matter what we think we've messed up on or haven't messed up on, or how we think sometimes we fall way short, but you love us. And you are proud of us. Help us understand that. And Lord, this morning, I believe you've given me some things to share. But unless you, Spirit Lord, come and fill in the gaps and speak through me, it's going to be nothing. These people don't need to hear me. But we all need to hear you. And so help me and all of us to hear you this morning and what you would say to us to encourage us and to draw us nearer to you, that we would be faithful in what you would have us do each and every day. So I trust you, Spirit Lord, to speak through me now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. These are messages that we have freedom here to just, we don't have a specific topic or direction, just what the Lord puts on our heart. And I really sense this was from the Lord for us. And so the question I have is, when's the last time the Spirit led you to do something out of the box? You know what I mean by out of the box? A little unusual, maybe, not the normal. When you sense them asking you to do something or to say something to someone on his behalf, oftentimes when it's out of the box, there's a lot of unknowns. Maybe in questionable surroundings, interacting with somebody you don't even know. Maybe you sense you're being asked to do or say something that doesn't really completely make sense to you. That's what I'm talking about, out of the box a little. And yet, there's this tug inside you saying, go, do it. And when you step out to do it, you're saying, oh, Spirit Lord, if you're not in this, I'm going to look like a fool for sure. Yeah. So, can you remember such a time? Can you bring one to your memory? And when you stepped out in faith, like, here I go, what was the results? How did it affect your relationship with the Lord because you were obedient and did it? Anybody could share. I mean, somebody has something that comes to mind you feel you should share. Here's your opportunity.
I'd say sometimes you don't always know the results.
That's exactly right. We don't. Sometimes you will never maybe see the results.
So I guess you could say the results is I'm still alive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And no matter what, if it was a big thing he's asking you to do or something, just little. There's not a big or little thing really with God, is there? But we usually gain more than we give when we step out like that. I don't know if you've experienced that or not. But truth be told, the older I get, the less adventurous I have become. And I believe I'm not alone in this. And unfortunately for many of us, and this might not be you, so don't take it if it's not you, but I believe that for me, I become more and more insensitive to the Lord's invitations. Say it that way. And maybe it's because I'm too busy or just unwilling to take risks. I'm not sure. I think we generally prefer familiar situations, right? And we get skeptical sometimes when we sense the Spirit's nudge, and especially when facing many unknowns. And so we often opt to do more predictable and less risky things. Does it sound right? Or does it sound familiar? But God in his mercy doesn't allow us to stay there, does he? He has purposes for us in our Christian lives, and he doesn't want us to get to the point where we're just going through the motions, which is easy to do. I believe he puts a dissatisfaction in us when we get to that point where I think I was going, and doesn't allow us to stay there, but gives us a desire for more encounters with his Spirit leading us in those ways. So this morning, I believe the Lord is reminding us that we need to be ready and willing to partner with him, to go on more adventures out of the box. God has always desired to partner with humans. Think about that. From this beginning, he chose Adam to do certain things, right? I mean, God could have just done those things. But he chose to have Adam do things. And then he calls people. I mean, if he wanted his people out of Egypt, he could have just did it. But he called a man. He called Moses. to partner with to do it. And Joshua and David and the prophets. And now, since Jesus' death and resurrection, he has put his spirit in his people. He's in us, lives in us permanently. Back in the Old Testament, he would come and go, kind of, on certain people. Now, every believer has the Holy Spirit living in us. It's an amazing thing. And he wants to partner with us and walk with us, just as he did with Paul and Barnabas in Acts 13:2. He says, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for a work which I am called them. And they went. God had a specific thing he was partnering with them to do. And he has something specific for each of us. We're no different. The call is different, but he's calling each of us. So, I think sometimes we forget, and that's why I have the reminder this morning, that mankind, humans, are the Father's crown jewel of his creation. And he wants to partner with us. That's crazy. And you know what? The enemy knows it. And so both God and the enemy desire to work through people. And we see the results in our world, right? So when he asks us to partner with him, we should not see it as a duty, but as a great privilege, really, for his purposes to be done on the earth. Now, I had to think about this, partnering with God. Definitely, he's the senior partner in this partnership. I mean, you ever hear the story of the elephant and the mouse going across a bridge, and they're going across, and it's really bouncing, and the mouse said, we're really bouncing this bridge, aren't we? It's like, yeah, mouse, you're really bouncing the bridge. That's kind of the partnership we're talking about here. And yet, he delights in partnering with us. We are definitely the junior partner in this partnership. I had to think of some kind of example of why God would want to do this. Well, I had to think of my own kids. Whenever I had a certain project I wanted to do, and I'd have them do it with me when they were little, do you think it went faster and better and more expedient? Or no. No. Those kids were partnering with me to accomplish something, whether it be working on something at the house or whatever. And I did that because I loved them, and I wanted them to do it with me, and it would strengthen our bond, right? That's what God is doing with us. That's why he lets us be our junior partner in this work of the kingdom. And he works, the partner that we're partnering with is the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He won't force himself on us. He'll just wait. If and when we accept his invitation to partner with him, then we're embarking on adventure. And who knows where it will go sometimes. But we always know, because we agree, our relationship with him will be stronger and deeper, and ultimately bring glory to the Father and to Jesus. So, you might be thinking, I rarely receive such invitations from the Holy Spirit. But I believe we do. I think they're pretty regularly that they come our way. I think we just miss it somehow, because they're so subtle. They come in the form of these gentle whispers. If you're not paying attention, whoosh, you'll miss it. yet still small voice. Or in very subtle promptings, or impressions, or nudges. Like this gentle prod, like a... It's not going to whack you over the head or me. Sometimes he's done that when he really wanted me to do something. But that's not generally how he works. It's usually just so subtle. But if we pay attention and tune in and say, is that you, Spirit, Lord? Is this your... Oh, yeah. You ask that one question, I think you'll find your answer pretty quickly on that. Problem is, we're so busy. We're all doing things, right? Of course we are. Sometimes we're self-absorbed. Sometimes, I know for myself, I'm just plain lazy. And the nudges are so slight that we miss them or we ignore them or disregard them. As just, that was just some random thought I had or something. Where did that, you know, where did that come from? Don't dismiss them so quickly. Now, another question. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you received a phone call, a text message, a note of encouragement, or a timely visit from somebody that was just what you needed and when you needed it, right on time? Can you remember a time when that happened? That's because somebody heard the nudge of the Spirit and followed through. He knew that you needed that, and he gave it to you right on time. That's what we're talking about here. So how do we hear the Spirit's voice? You know, I have conversations with the Spirit. I don't really pray to the Holy Spirit. I pray to Jesus. I pray to the Father. But I have conversations with the Holy Spirit. That might sound funny. I often have conversations with him when I'm driving my truck, when I'm going places. Different times I'll be asking him questions. I'll be praying, and he'll say things. And I know once I was driving my truck, and I was praying for a friend who was having these physical problems, and the Lord said, I just heard him say it. They're not physical. These have spiritual roots. I'm like, and I've been praying for this person for months. I'm like, really? In other words, he needed deliverance. Another time I was with a brother of Christ, and I knew. How do I know? I don't know. I was supposed to heal him, pray for healing for him. He had a serious back condition, and I didn't pray for him. I didn't tell him that I heard this. I didn't pray for him. It looked too hard. I'm like, and I heard the Spirit say, pray for him. I saw him a week later, and he comes up to me and says, you were supposed to have prayed for me. I'm like, yeah, yes, I was. He said, will you pray for me? I said, yes. The Lord is gracious with us, isn't he? I pray for him. This guy was completely healed. Was it Mike that healed him? Absolutely not. I mean, I had hardly, my faith was weak. I mean, but I prayed for him. And he received complete wholeness to his back. I mean, he couldn't do hard, he was in great pain. I don't know. Isn't God amazing? Each time I listened and stepped out in faith, I learned things. And my connection with the Lord grew deeper, and it will with all of us. And like Larry said, not every attempt I made was successful. There are many times afterwards I felt, well, I really missed the Lord on this one. But sometimes we don't know the results. Sometimes we may never know the results. They don't always come immediately. We can't judge the effectiveness of what we did or what we've sensed as being obedient to what happens. But even in our mistakes, and we all make them, the Spirit is kind and patient with us. He He's not going to knock you over the head. We're learning. We're learning this walk with the Spirit. I mean, it's something that we continue to work at. And so, yeah, he'll pick us up and keep us going. We just need to be continually sensitive and listening to his voice. Now, again, as the years have passed, many of these adventures, out-of-the-box experiences, have become fewer and fewer for me with the Lord. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? Seems like my connection with the Spirit has kind of waned. So recently, I've been really drawing nearer to the Lord again and trying to hear his voice and sense his nudges again. And hence, I've had this message for this morning for all of us. Because I believe we can all use this reminder that we need to partner with the Holy Spirit and yield to him to reestablish that intimacy that he desires. I know I've said this before, but there's a scripture, let me say this first. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says, "Do you know that you are that God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" It's what Paul says. Now, we know this, right? But yeah, Mike, we've heard that. We all know that. Yet somehow it doesn't make it from here to here. That's a long way from here to here. It might be like 18 inches or whatever, but sometimes it's the longest road. We understand it in our minds, but we don't truly believe it sometimes in our hearts. I don't know. So we forget we have this awesome part of the Trinity living in us, God himself living in us. And we go through our days ignoring this person living in us. We forget he's a person and he has a personality, right? He has no physical body because he's spirit. And yet the Bible refers to him as a he, not an it. It's a person. And the Bible says, what about this person? Why do we call him a person? Because persons have personalities. Tell me some things about the personality of the Holy Spirit. Things that the Holy Spirit does that has a personality about it. Go ahead. Comforter. Right. What else?
Loving.
Yes.
Guide.
Say that again.
Guide.
Yes, absolutely. He's wanting to do that. He encourages us.
Convicts
us, absolutely.
Mediator.
Yep.
Patient.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's also things that we know he's a person that has a personality because it says in the Bible that he can be grieved. Ooh. I've done that too often, I'm afraid. How about he makes decisions? Persons do that, right? He can be lied to. Ananias and Sapphira found out that, didn't they? And he's all those things you said, guide, counselor, helper, absolutely. Now, Paul has this benediction, the very last verse of 2 Corinthians, of the book, or the letter to the Corinthians, the second book, chapter 13, verse 14, it says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So, this word communion in the Greek is koinonia. It means fellowship, intimacy. And when you look at the three part, it has a Trinity right there. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of Jesus. It never changes. It's not dependent upon us at all. It's just a gift. He gives this to us. It says the love of God, the Father, he gives that to us. It doesn't matter what we do or don't do. He loves us and pours out his love to us. But this third part, the communion with the Holy Spirit, third part of the Trinity, that communion is dependent upon us and what we do and how we interact with him. So he desires to be close to us, intimate with us in relationship. He wants to be your closest friend and my closest friend. Now, if you have a close friend, how do you maintain that friendship? Yeah, hello? Sure we do. We need to interact. When you're down, you talk to them about it. When they do something nice, you thank them. You greet them when you see them, right? Same thing with the Holy Spirit. We don't think of it like that, but we need to. We need to say, good morning, Holy Spirit. I do that every morning. I say, good morning, Spirit Lord. Thank you for you being in my life. I appreciate you. I don't always say, today, Jesus, Holy Spirit, let's you and me bring glory to Jesus somehow. What do you have in store? I should say that every day. Too many Christians inadvertently, I don't think we purposely do it, but we ignore him. We don't thank him. I mean, if someone came here to New Beginnings and sat down and nobody came up to them, greeted them or thanked them or acknowledged them, they would be grieved or quenched, wouldn't they? Yeah. Same thing happens. I don't think we do it intentionally, but it happens. And we need to learn to know him and appreciate him, and then he will hear his voice more clearly. In Acts, the book of Acts is filled with the Holy Spirit interacting with people, using them, partnering with them for God's glory. We see it with Philip, who was a deacon in the early church. He was used by God to bring a great revival in Samaria. And in the middle of the revival, God sends an angel and says, Philip, I want you to go and sit on this road in the desert in the middle of nowhere. He did it, of course. So as he's sitting there in the middle of the desert, he's probably wondering, why am I here? And as he's sitting there, it says in the word, in verse 29 in chapter 8, the Spirit says to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot that he saw coming. So Philip ran to him. You see that? He didn't say, well, I don't know. No, he took right off running to the chariot. I like that. Heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah. Just a coincidence, right? And said, do you understand what you were reading? The man was eunuch with great authority from Ethiopia. And says, how can I understand unless someone teaches me? And Philip says, teaches him about Jesus. You're reading about Jesus, a prophecy of Jesus from the Old Testament. Just like that. Perfect timing, right? And as they're going along, the eunuch sees water and says, what's going to prevent me from being baptized right here and now? And Philip said, let's do it. And they went down. And as he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit took Philip and took him 20 miles away to another place and was disappeared from the eunuch. It's like, what? That hasn't happened to me yet, Chuck. So we'll see. We have cars that can get us where we need to go these days. But yeah. I love these. These are not fairy tales. This is God partnering with people with his Spirit. Wow. Sometimes the instructions the Holy Spirit gives us are strange. We don't really understand it completely. You understand what I mean? And I think Philip probably was thinking that when he got that instruction to sit in the desert road. There's a pastor and author. His name is Bill Johnson. And this is a quote I have from him. He says, if we understand all that's going on in our lives, then we're living in an inferior Christian life. Let me read that again. It's a pretty bold statement. If we understand all that's going on in our Christian lives, and we're living an inferior Christian life. Because God is calling us to walk with him in faith. And he'll be asking us sometimes to obey him when we don't fully understand why he wants us to do it. We should not restrict God's purposes and plans in our lives because we don't fully understand why he wants us to do something. Questions are healthy, and that's good to ask questions. But to demand to fully understand it all before we obey is not. There's a difference. To not fully understand is okay, but to restrict God and the leading of his Spirit because we don't fully understand is not. And my next example is right out of Acts again, Acts chapter 9. Ananias, you know the story. Ananias, what was the name of the town that we were in? Damascus. Ananias was in Damascus, and Saul was on his way to Damascus to round up more Christians, haul them off to prison, maybe have some more killed. And Ananias was called by the Lord to go to Saul. Ananias says, "Are you kidding me?" No, he didn't say that. That's not part of Scripture. He said, "I have heard many things about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem." I mean, he's thinking, I must have ate the pizza wrong the night before. Something's going on here that I'm hearing this, that this can't be right, right? I mean, this is crazy out of the box. But the Lord said that he was to do what he asked. I have plans for this man. And he did what he was asked, didn't he? And because he did, Saul became Paul. Probably one of the greatest evangelists and missionaries ever. And wrote 14 books of the New Testament. God had plans, but those plans were, wow, that was way out of the box for Ananias. But he went ahead and did it. I mean, sometimes we read these stories and we're looking at it from hindsight, but in the moment with Ananias, this must have been like, I mean, he's putting his life at risk doing this. I mean, this is real mysterious stuff that God does sometimes, and he wants us to do that as well. Sometimes he'll ask us to do stuff that, again, that doesn't make sense. I was reminded of this story out of Guidepost. It was a story about a man who was in seminary, going to be a pastor, and he was taking a course on the Holy Spirit. And he went to the professor and said, "Look, we've had this." It was near the end of the semester. They were studying for the final. And he said, "Look, we've been studying about the Holy Spirit all these weeks. How do I know if he's even alive and well today and wants to interact with me?" was his question to the professor. The professor said, "Why don't you just ask him? Show yourself today to me." And said, "Go." So that's what this student did. He prayed, "If you're out there, Holy Spirit, you want to use me, show me." That's a good prayer. You can't go wrong with that, let me tell you. He had a friend that was a girl that was also in seminary, and they were going to study together, and she told this girl about her prayer. And all of a sudden, he got this thought in his mind as they were studying for this final that he's supposed to go across town to this dance at another secular college. And he's like, "That can't be the Lord." And the girl's like, "Hey, you ask," and he said to do that. He said, "But you know, we can get expelled if we're at a dance. This is a conservative seminary." So they decided, "We got to find out if this is the Lord or not." So they go to this dance. They're not supposed to be at this dance. And when they get there, they open up the doors, and it's the disco ball going and the loud music. And the girl's looking at him, "What are we supposed to do now?" And the Holy Spirit tells him, "I want you to go up to the guy in the yellow shirt. His name is Terry. Tell him I love him. I still have plans for him." He's like, "Oh my goodness." He does what he's asked. And the band took a break. And he got to talk to this man. He says, "Hi, Are you Terry? He said, yes, I am Terry. Okay. And he said, God sent me here. He said, what? God sent me here to say, I love you and I still have purposes for you. And Terry starts to cry. He says, they said, we're students from across town at the seminary. He says, I was a student at that seminary. And in my last semester, I went to a dance and was found out and was expelled. And I've been running from God, not sure what I'm supposed to do, and not even sure if God was there anymore. And then he sends you and tells me he loves me and so has plans for my life. Boy, that's what God wants with us, folks. Adventures with him. Yeah. So we need to learn to recognize the Spirit's still small voice and his promptings and be ready to do the unexpected and the mysterious sometimes. And you know what? Our life will not be boring. Sometimes people think, oh, that Christian life, that's boring. Are you kidding me? He wants an adventure just like we've been talking about. So the question is, how do we better know the Spirit's voice and his nudges in our lives? And know it's just not our own thinking. And we discussed this earlier. Time together. Time together with the Lord, in his word, in his presence. Can't do it without time together. I had to think, you know, I can pick out Luann's voice in a crowd. Easily. I know her voice. I can easily hear it. And over the years, I've come to know what makes her happy and what will really grieve her. And it's at the point, and those of you who are married any length of time will know, all it takes is a look or a slight touch of her hand for me to get the message. That's called time together. No words are needed because I know her. That's how it will be with the Spirit, you see? That's what he wants. But it requires time each day. And I know all of you set aside time for devotions. I believe that. I believe that's true. Time in the Word, time with prayer. But sometimes we need to change it up. Get a different routine, maybe, to hear him better. I don't know. Maybe a different place or a new way to connect with him. And when you do, ask him, guide me today. What do you have in store today? Talk with him. Greet him. And then listen for his voice and his little nudges. And when you're not sure, ask him. Ask him questions. Thank him. Acknowledge his presence. And I'll tell you what, we're all going to see more and more things happening in our lives through us like that. Sometimes, not just daily things, it's good to have our daily devotions and times with the Lord like that. But sometimes there's special times where we need to get away. Maybe spend part of a day or better part of a day or all day somewhere, just you and the Lord. When's the last time you've done that? I should ask me that question. When's the last time I have done that? I know with Luann, we have like date nights where we, just the two of us, we go places, eat dinner together, spend time together. But we also take trips together, and we'll go away for a week, just the two of us, as 24/7 we're together. And those weeks, those times together, it's just not, oh, you're going to get a suntan or something. No, it's quality time of connecting again as a couple. It's needed. And we need that with the Lord too. Now, you're not going to be able to all spend extended times probably because you're working in various things, but the Lord wants that if you can do that, if you can chisel out time. The Lord has made it clear that he wants me to do that. And since I'm retired, I have time to do that. And so this coming week, I was encouraged by Brandon Hanks and Tim Deering to go on a personal retreat with the Lord. So starting tomorrow, I'll be 3 days and two nights at Tim Deering's cabin on the Susquehanna, just me and the Lord, no TV, no distractions, just the two of us. I know. What are we going to talk about, right? I don't know what he has in mind for me. I'm not going to come back and know all the answers to things, but we're going to connect. That's my prayer, and I believe he's looking forward to that time as well. It says, James tells us in James 4, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You make one step towards the Lord, and he'll come running, just like that prodigal son when he started turning back home, right? Father is running to him. That's our Lord. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So again, we need to learn and discern the Spirit's promptings and nudges to hear his voice. And then sometimes, when we know that we hear his voice, we got to take that step. I had to think about taking a step of faith. I had to think about those priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. They're at the edge of the Jordan at flood stage. And Joshua says, carry it across. And it wasn't until their soles of their feet touched that water that the water separated and they went across on dry land. I think, oh man, they had to take that step. And then the Lord showed up. Boo! It's like, my goodness. But they had to take that step though, you see? And then it all happened. Oh, yeah. So take those steps of faith when you sense it's the Lord. And it may be a small thing, like a text or a note of encouragement to somebody. But you know how it is with God. There is no small things. If God's asking you to do it, it's a big thing, right? Sometimes if you think, oh, it's Ananias going to Saul was a big thing. It was. But sometimes the small things are big things, especially the people that are on the receiving end. Just don't know. Learn to know his voice, though, and know sometimes he'll put those thoughts in your mind, and it's just not your own idea, but it's him, and we will miss him at times, but it's okay. If you're doing it, you know, and there's some things, you know, does it line up with Scripture? Is it illegal? I mean, if there's no red flags, those kinds of things, then what's holding you back? Just your pride in case it fall flat? Yeah. More than likely, it's probably the Lord. And again, our lives, our Christian lives, will be anything but boring when we're in this place of relationship and walking with him. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your faithfulness, for your great love for us. You don't really need us to do anything, but that's what you choose to do. You choose to partner with us, your children, to accomplish your purposes here on earth because you love us. Thank you so much. Forgive us, Lord, when we are, I don't know, just wrapped up in our own stuff and busy, and forgive us when we've ignored you or quenched you or grieved you. Help us to tune into you and hear your still small voice. To listen for your slightest nudges and then follow through. Help us to be obedient children of yours so we can bring much honor, glory to Jesus. So thank you, Lord. I pray this week that each of us, each one of us here, would commit afresh to asking you, what would you have for me today? What would you have me do today, Spirit Lord? And you will take us up on it. I know it. So do that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to end with a song that's an oldie but a goodie. And Justin's going to play it. You can sing along if you want, but it's more just to encourage us in what God is asking us to do.
Saddle up your horses.
For a great adventure. I love that song. Isn't that inspiring? It makes you want to, let's go. That's what the Spirit's saying. Okay, my people, let's go. Saddle up your horses. I got an adventure for you waiting. All you got to do is work with me here, he's saying. And it'll be interesting. You ask him these things this week, and it'll be interesting to hear the testimonies of what God did. Because he will. If you're interested, 10 suggestions on how to hear the Spirit's voice. And I have scriptures with all of them, and they're back on the counter next to the covenant membership papers. So you're more than welcome to them if you want to have them. So, Father, thank you. Thank you that this is what we were created for. a great adventure with you. Thank you that you desire to go on, take us through this life with you personally. This is the God we serve. You're so wonderful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.